Great to have Gerwin with us. And I'm just going to invite him to come and share from God's word. Let's welcome him well. Come on.
I'm not just saying this, but it does feel like I've never been away. It's like this gap of a year, and we just strolled in today. It was just great to see everybody. Let's just pray. Lord, bless us today. We pray that you will just fill us with your Holy Spirit. Pollute us with your Holy Spirit. I don't know if that's a good thing to say, but I want to say it, Lord. Pollute us with your Holy Spirit like a river flowing through us. And we just pray now that we might be changed and be more effective, as Simon was saying, about how we need to live out this practical Christianity. We pray it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hands up if you're doing the 40 days of Lent. Anybody? A couple of people. It's all to do with the 40 days of Jesus in the wilderness, I believe, isn't it? But I tried it for a couple of years, and I kept putting on weight. And so I had to stop. And then somebody explained to me, it's 40 days of Lent, not 40 days of lint. As in the chocolate, if you... I just want to read from Isaiah 58, where you read so much about fasting, thinking about Lent. And God tells us what true fasting is all about. This is what Jason's read from the message. I just want to highlight some words. Is not this the kind of fasting that I have chosen? To choose to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, break every yoke. And look at this. The reason why we get slimmer in terms of fasting, this is the real fasting, is to share your food with the hungry. So you eat less because you're giving it away. That's true fasting, is what we read here. When you see the naked, clothe them, not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, etc., with a pointing finger, and if you spend yourselves, this is how you get slim. It's a good diet to help others on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed. Then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. I love, you know, the Jews and in the Old Testament and the New Testament, they used to fast because they wanted to get God's attention. But fasting is about God getting our attention, as Simon was saying, about how we need to see and help other people and so forth. And I love the prophets. I love the way they just cut through and just say it as it is. This is true fasting, you know. Stop telling me how the clock works and just tell me what time it is. This is how the prophets spoke, straight through. The emperor's not wearing any clothes. They just go straight through. It's great. Love to see it. But it's interesting, in the next chapter, in Isaiah 59, we read the Lord looked down to have a look to see what was going on with fasting. And we are told this is what he sees. And to help us understand what God sees in Isaiah, and to understand the way that Isaiah wrote things, we're going to be helped with, if we could just move on to the next slide, Kath. Because I think this clicker's kind of... Katie Melua actually does something similar to Isaiah. If we can have the next bit. Douglas Fairbanks. No? There he is. He had a mustache. Must have had much cash. She does exactly what Isaiah does in Isaiah 59. Because it doesn't come across in the English. What he says is this, if it'll come up. There we go. He looked down and saw not judgment, but oppression. But you don't get it, because the Hebrew, he's doing what Katie Melua does. Instead of mishpat, he saw mispah. And in terms of righteousness, instead of seeing righteousness, he saw a cry. I don't know if I can say this. Said kana, said kaha. Can you say that, Simon? You've done a bit of Hebrew, haven't you?
Sadaka.
Yeah. Like Neil Sadaka, yeah? See what's going on. You don't see it because you can't read the Hebrew. He's saying words which sound similar. It's like alliteration, I guess. You know, I think there's probably a deeper word for it where it sounds really the same. And this is the effect that you get if you can actually read in the Hebrew. But it was religion that had gone wrong. You know, religion that was interested in rich people, not people on the margins. I always laugh at Basil Fawlty when he's on the phone. And as he's talking to somebody who's quite insignificant, a rich person comes in and he goes, goodbye. And he just puts the phone down. Have you seen, everybody's seen that sketch. It's on UK Gold over and over again, isn't it? But it's religion gone wrong. And we have to be careful as religious people that we don't just focus on people that are wealthy, people that are well off. Jesus was interested in people on the fringe, on the margin. And as we were thinking earlier on, Jesus actually didn't just feed people. He taught them how to feed themselves. He said, I'll make you fishers of men. He says, throw your net over this side of the boat and you'll have a better catch. Launch out into the deep. And one thing that we've learned from Tear Fund today is this. It's not just about surviving, it's about thriving. And as Simon was saying, it's about people's self-worth. We're made in the image of God and he wants us to prosper. And he wants us to do it for ourselves as well. He wants us to thrive, not just survive. If we can have the next slide, please. I'm not going to trust the clicker. It's a shame Craig isn't here because I took this photo in B&Q and it's gone downhill since Craig left. Because that cushion should have been up a little bit. But what it says is this. Happiness is a journey, not just a destination. You see, in terms of the kingdom, we always think about religion as we want to get people into heaven. But Jesus wasn't like that. He wanted to bring heaven to earth. He says, it's a journey, not the destination. You see, God believes in life before death. Of course, he's interested in life after death, but he's interested in life before death. It's interesting the number of pop stars that have been dying recently from the 70s. Is it me? Or is like all the music industry from the 70s just dying before our eyes? Lemmy, I think it was, from Motorhead, said he didn't believe he was going to heaven because there are no pool tables in heaven. Well, I don't know. You see, if you want a picture of heaven, it's the Garden of Eden. It's an incredible place on earth. So I don't know, maybe there are pool tables. Who knows? But we've got this odd sort of picture of heaven. And God wants to bring heaven to earth and he wants to build up self-worth and give people a piece of heaven on earth. If you go to the next bit, please, Kath. It was interesting when David Bowie died. Kath's going to click for me. Thanks. There he is. People actually thought he might not have died. Some people still believe he hasn't died and that he's beaming his music down from space. Some people actually believe that. But it's amazing. It's like as if he knew he was going to die. And if you listen to some of the songs of his new album, there's one called Lazarus, and it's interesting what his wife said, if we can have the next bit. The struggle is real, but so is God. I find it amazing that high-profile people, people in the music industry, are connected in some ways to the spiritual world. The struggle is real, but so is God. And we all struggle with life. On this journey of life, we all struggle. And the reason why I've got unfinished business is there is God hasn't finished with us yet. And unless we see ourselves as we are truly before God and understand how valued we are before God, it's only then that we can help others. It was the other day I was thinking about the verse, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, if you hate yourself and you keep thinking bad things about yourself, you can't love your neighbor. It's as simple as that. And I began to think, is that the reason why there's so much crime? So much violence? Because if you hate yourself, You'll hate other people. So you have to have the right perspective of yourself and see yourself as God sees you and values you before you can help other people. But when we go through life, we struggle. Bits of us fall off. We make mistakes. We mess up. And we think less of ourselves. And then perhaps we don't treat each other as we should do. We struggle. Can we have the next picture, please? There's this guy, an Israeli violinist. And I've forgotten his name. This is a picture of him when he was quite young. Itzhak Pellman. Did I say that right? Somebody else. Nice one. There you are, you've learned something. This is when he was very young. But he got up when he was a lot older, and he got up to do a concerto, and it took him a long time to walk on stage. He came on stage with his crutches, and as he sat down, he then began to tune his violin up. On one occasion, it took him a long, long time, and as he was tuning up his violin, his string snapped. And the crowd gasped because they thought it's going to be another half an hour before they recover the situation. But he signaled to the conductor to start the concerto. And it was absolutely incredible. He played the whole concerto on three strings. And he was detuning and tuning up as he was playing. It was phenomenal. And at the end, he had a standing ovation. He struggled to his feet and everybody was clapping. And he said this, "Our task is to make music with what remains." And I'm sure there are people here and you've gone through life and you've been battered and bits of you have fallen off. God says, "I'm not finished with you yet. And I can still make music with what remains." Is this speaking to somebody here this morning? May God bless you and may God speak to you. It's not all over. "I'm not finished with you yet," he says. And he's able to put us back together. You see, it's not about believing in God. It's about God believing in you. You know? Because he wants you to become the best version of yourself. I was in my nephew's wedding last August. And he said, he turned to his wife and he said, Sarah, her name was, "Thank you for believing in me when I didn't even believe in myself." You've got to believe in yourself. Because God believes in you. Be yourself. Everybody else is taken. You're unique. And God wants you to put you back together so that he wants to complete it, this unfinished business. So that you can then help your neighbor, as we've been thinking in terms of TIFF and giving people dignity and self-worth, putting them back together as what they should be. You see, God believes in evolution. He wants you to evolve. He wants people in these countries that we've been thinking about and the trafficking in terms of children and people in broken life. He wants to raise the level of their life to make them more complete. He believes in evolution. I want to show you an example of evolution. If we can have the next slide, please, Kat, and the next one. There you go. What you're looking at here, some of you might have heard me say this before, there's a thing, what's it called? It's not a pamphlet, is it? What do you call it? Anyway, it's a thing which has been chiseled out letters from Babylon. This is laws written in Babylon before Moses. So before Moses spoke about an eye for an eye, this was written as laws in Babylon. And what happened is this. God says, "I believe in evolution." And he took this law and he evolved it into Moses' law. Because he took what was surrounding Israel and he took it and used it and applied it and made it better. And it's interesting, if you could read that, I'm sure you can't. It actually says this. If you're a gentleman and you put another gentleman's eye out, then you lose an eye. If you're a gentleman and you put a commoner's eye out, well, you just give him a bag of silver. And if you're a gentleman and you put the eye out of a slave, then it's just half the price of a slave. Basically, there's an equality thing going on. So Moses takes it and he says, "No, no, 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 no. An eye for an eye." Now Martin's going to come out and help me, Because Jesus took it one step further. If we can just go on to the next slide, please, Kat. Jesus says, Moses said, I say, eye for an eye, but I say unto you. And now Martin's, I'm going to demonstrate slapping Martin in the face. When Jesus said, if somebody slaps you, and this is like a master-slave relationship, if somebody hits you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek, okay? Now, I'm not actually going to hit Martin. Where's your right cheek, Martin? That side, okay? So, master-slave, we've spoken about this, yeah? You understand you're lower than me. As long as we, you know.
When is this conversation going about?
If I hit Martin on the right cheek, this is what I do. Just turn your head. I won't actually do it. Just turn your head. That's it's the bit on top of your body.
I understand.
Okay. 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 Now, Jesus said to Martin, if somebody hits you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek. Turn the other cheek. Thank you, Mark. Now, I've got a problem. Because if I want to keep this status kind of slap you on the back of my hand thing going, I've got a problem. Because I've got to use my left hand now. And I only use that to go to the toilet. It was culturally to... It's okay. It's...
You washed your hands.
Culturally, it was taboo. So that wouldn't have done. It was going against complete culture. So it wouldn't happen. So what I have to do now is this. If I want to hit Martin again, I have to hit him as an equal. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing what Jesus did? Thank you, Martin. So what Jesus was saying is this, or what Martin would be saying is this, yeah, you can hit me again, but hit me as an equal. You see, to maintain dignity and equality and become equal as human beings, sometimes it's painful. Jesus said on the cross, hit me again. So that there might be equality. Hit me again. So that there might be equality. And God wants to restore dignity and equality in this tear fund world that we've been thinking about. But it's painful. And sometimes it might be painful for us. But often it's through pain that God pours out blessing. If you can have the next bit. Jesus said in the Old Testament, the meek shall inherit the land. Jesus says, let's get better. Let's get bigger. Let's get better. Not just the land, the earth. And the next bit, please, Kath. Sky, believe in better. This is what Tear Fund's all about. Believe in better. Through brokenness, God can make things better. And as we see ourselves and our brokenness in our lives, and we realize how much we're valued by God, we can pour our life out into other people's lives and make them better too. The next one, please. Last time, I know I mentioned about the potter, and I just love this verse. Piece of pottery that was broken. And God says, let's start again. But we read that as the potter reshaped the pot, he did it as it seemed best to him. You know, sometimes when things are broken, that's when God shines through. When we're broken in our lives, that's when God can somehow begin to do a work. Last year, Wales beat England in rugby because they'd been broken the game before. Don't know what's going to happen this time. Maybe England were the broken ones now, so look out, eh? But that's when powerful things happen, when we become broken. And when things happen in our life and we think everything's chaos, God says, I haven't finished with you yet. Next one, please, Kath, the final one. There's a story of, I don't know if it's a Chinese man or a woman, it looks a bit like a woman, but it could be a man, I don't know. Every day, he'd go down to the river with two pots. And as he carried these pots back, one of the pots was cracked. And this pot that was cracked felt terrible because he'd walk all the way back from the river to his house. And by the time the man got back to his house, the cracked pot had leaked half of the water. Every day, back and forth, walking, walking, walking. And he felt terrible, this pot that was cracked and leaking. And one day he'd had enough, and he said to the master, he said, look, he said, every day you walk this way, and I feel so inadequate, because when we get back, half of me's gone. Look, use somebody else. I'm broken. And then he said to the pot, haven't you seen the flowers that are growing your side of the path? Every time we walk back and forth, I throw seeds down. And it only grows on the side where you are because you're cracked. And I've picked all those flowers. Have you seen my house? Full of flowers. It's because of you. And God says, I can't use you unless you're cracked. So don't beat yourself up about it. Unless you're cracked, crackpots, let's be honest, God can't use you. And when you're broken, he says this, I've not finished with you yet, and I can do something with you. Robert Louis Stevenson, when he was a boy, looked out the window every night, and he was fascinated by the guy that came round lighting the lamps, the gas lamps. And he said once to his grandmother, he said, there he is again, that man who punches holes in the darkness. I love that. And Tearfund, and what Simon's been saying about Eden as a church, is punching holes in the darkness. And sometimes you get hurt with a punch, as we've been thinking, on a slap. But it's the bit where God then shines through and makes a difference. And I just pray that in our brokenness, we'll know what it is to help in other people's brokenness, because we are equal in God's image. And help us not to be proud. Help us to, may God help us to help one another. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for the fact that you were prepared to take pain that there might be equality and self-worth. Father, we are unique. Everybody else is taken. You have made us unique and you want the best for us. And you want the best for other people. So help us, Lord, to see ourselves as we are, truly blessed. Even though we've messed up, you can use us and you can shine your light through us. So help us now as we think about Tearfund, and we think, as we were looking at the video earlier on, even as we speak, children have been trafficked. And we pray, Lord, for this work. And we pray that we may feel your brokenness, that we may feel other people's pain, that we may know what this unfinished business is all about, that you're into completing and making people worth, feel their worth and self-worth. Lord, bless us now and be with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.